the Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church. I am Pastor Joel Leckemeyer. Well, welcome again for those of you who are joining us. Boy, where's my head at today? Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you know us. You know us when we sit. You know us when we rise. You know everything that you... you know what we're going to say before we even comes off of the word. Yet you still love us. Lord, thank you for the assurance that you have. Please grant us more assurance as your word speaks to us now. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, one of the things that our home came gifted with was a couple of Alexas, Amazon Alexas. We have one that has a screen in our kitchen. And one day I go downstairs and the Alexa screen has "Ask me for a space joke." And so I said, "Okay, Alexa, tell me a space joke." And she says, "Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? It has food that's out of this world but no atmosphere." So I'm like, how does AI knows that I like dad jokes? And of course, it says, "Ask me for another one." So of course, I did. What did the Earth say to Mars? "Get a life." Man, it's amazing how this artificial intelligence just knows me. Have you ever, gone on to the online and you go to your homepage, whatever your homepage is, and maybe there's some ads in the corner, and there's something on there that they're trying to sell you, and you had a conversation about that with somebody else earlier this week, oh my goodness, is it that our phones are listening, or that the Alexas that we have in our house are listening, or perhaps also everything that every time we do a Google search, it gets filed away, and someone lovingly sells our information so that more people can sell stuff to us, right? One theme and topic that I've looked up a lot, being a 49ers fan, is their new star quarterback, Brock Purdy. So every time I go online, I get sales to buy Brock Purdy jerseys. Can't quite pull the trigger to can't quite afford an expensive jersey like that. Not in the cards right now, but maybe someday. But yeah, it's amazing. It's how many of you have ever read George Orwell's 1984, where Big Brother watches you? And of course, in his book, the whole idea is that the government has the technology to spy on you and knows everything about you and what you're doing. And so there's absolutely no freedom. What's ironic is we, through our consumerism, have just totally bought into the concept of Big Brother knowing everything about us. Mainly to do what? Sell stuff from us, or sell stuff to us, right? So we buy stuff from them, right? That's the chief thing, but can they really know us, though? I mean, maybe. At some point, yes, I'm not thrilled about I kind of look at artificial intelligence. The idea of it is maybe that's kind of a little bit scary and out there. Maybe I've watched too many movies where the AI turns on us. I don't know. But does it know, can technology, it might be able to compile information and patterns and count things. Our phones will probably could tell the government exactly where we are at. Long before the advent of technology, there was a creator of the universe who formed the heavens and the earth. And for whatever reason, in his own wisdom, he chose a particular solar system that we're in. And this particular rock, this third planet from this particular sun, he chose to create man in his own image. And he chose that he said, this particular creature in my creation, in this world, this earth, over all the other creatures that are in this world, I'm going to choose to have a very special relationship with. So special that the creator of the universe actually became part of that creation. God didn't become a lion. God didn't become a fly. God didn't become a gorilla or a dog or a cat. God chose to be a man. He became a man because we were made in his image. And that's really right. That we focused a lot on that over the Christmas season. That's the celebration. God knows us. God becoming man. And now in today's text, we're actually looking at when Jesus begins his ministry. We talked about his baptism, and last week we talked about with his baptism, what did God proclaim of Jesus? He said, "You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." Now Jesus has begun his ministry, and he's going around, and as he's preaching, repent, and believe the good news, people are starting to take notice. It didn't hurt that a couple of John the Baptist's disciples who were following John the Baptist were with him when John saw Jesus walking by and said, "Look, behold, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When I baptized him, he came out of the water, and I saw the Spirit come like a dove upon him. And I heard the voice from heaven say, 'This is my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased.'" And so John dutifully sent his own disciples away to become disciples of Jesus. And now we're in this city of Galilee, or we're around the region of Galilee here, and Jesus, going to Galilee, he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, a city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and all the prophets wrote." Now, Moses, being the greatest of the prophets, he wrote the first five books of the Bible, known to them as the Torah, or the law, the instruction. That's what Torah means, is instruction. Or we interpret some other law. So that's the first five books of the Bible, the Old Testament. And then there's the prophets, which was what we would call part of the Old Testament, Joshua, all the way down through Malachi. And they didn't have it organized in a book like this. They had scrolls, different scrolls. So they'd pick up a scroll and say, "We're going to read today from the scroll of Isaiah." But those were the law and the prophets. And they're saying that we have finally found the one who the prophets have come out. That's a bold claim. It's almost hard to believe, right? If you had somebody say, "I have seen the Son of God," would you be kind of a little bit skeptical, maybe? Okay. And yet, Philip is willing to go to his brother excitedly and say, "We've seen him. He is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, and who knows the context? I don't know much about Nazareth as far as, you know, I know that it was in northern Israel. I know that it's a small town. I don't know what kind of legacy it had for itself in those days. If I were to tell you that I was from Las Vegas, or actually I wasn't from Las Vegas, but I was from a city like Las Vegas, a smaller version of it, Reno. But if I was talking of Reno or Las Vegas, what is something that you're going to think of? Gambling. Maybe some other things too, right? Like, yeah, man, it's really easy to sin in a city like Reno or Las Vegas, right? So whatever Nathaniel's impression of Nazareth is, it comes right out. He blurts it right out. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Open and honest, right? Just like all the doubts. And yet he follows his brother. And Jesus sees Nathanael coming towards him. And Jesus says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And Jesus is like, "You speak, there's no guile. You speak honestly and boldly." And it's not that Jesus is insulted. In fact, if anything, he's showing his humanity here. He's showing that he's someone who can roll with the punches. This sounds like somebody who I'd like to be, to who I think would be fun to be around. Jesus has got a sense of humor here. Here's an Israelite who has no deceit. He just puts it right there, right between the eyes. And of course, Nathaniel is kind of thrown off guard here. And he's like, "How do you know me?" I remember back when I worked some retail, and you had to wear your name tag in retail. Every once in a while, a customer would kind of throw you off and call you by your name. And at first, I'd sometimes forget that I had my name tag on, and I'd kind of get like, "How do you know me? Oh, yeah, my name tag." But Nathaniel's like, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, and what's interesting is that Jesus, he could have quoted Psalm 139, where, and we, the psalm that we read, "Lord, you know me. When I rise, when I sit down, you know everything that comes out of my tongue before I speak it. You know me deep down." But instead of just quoting the scriptures, which probably every Israelite worth their salt, who had no deceit in them knew, Jesus says, "I saw you sit under a fig tree. You were sitting down under there when your brother was going and getting you." And perhaps Nathanael, when he went out to the fig tree, didn't tell anybody else. Maybe that's why it was so shocking and amazing to him. "Lord, how do you know me? I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael's response is, this is incredible, but from that response, he's able to say, "You are the Son of God and the King of Israel." What frustrates me sometimes is, and I'll be honest, what frustrates me as a pastor is that there are people who I know who have looked at the scriptures, come to church, and they've fallen away. They've had a chance to know more about Jesus than Nathanael had at that point in time. And yet Nathanael was able to jump in there and say, "You are the Son of God." Part of that is the help of the Holy Spirit, of course. We can't believe and confess. No one can say Jesus is Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit, right? No one can say Jesus is accursed, and no one can say that he is, no one can say with the Holy Spirit that Jesus is accursed, and no one with the Holy, and no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. And Jesus makes a promise. Actually, Jesus allows himself to be amazed. And he says, "You say I'm those things only because you saw me, only because I saw you under the fig tree." He says, "You're going to see more than that. You're going to see even more than that. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Meaning, man as he should be. Man perfect and blameless. man, who is also divine. The man, Jesus, who is 100% God, 100% man, standing there. And he would see angels ascending and descending on him, Jesus. How does this carpenter, this son of a stonecutter and a carpenter, from a small town of Nazareth, across the world, begin his ministry 2,000 years ago? How does he know you? The psalmist says that he hemmed you together in your mother's womb. Paul, when he wrote the letter of Ephesians, says, "Thanks be to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing from before the foundation of the world." Have you ever heard that expression, "It's not what you know, it's who you know"? Do you realize who you know? You know the Creator of the world. You know him because you've heard his word. You know him because many of you have been baptized, many of you in this congregation here. You know him because you've received the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. You know him because he's revealed himself to you, and you've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you can say, "Yes, I believe." God knows you too, deeply, because one, he's God. Jesus is the Son of God, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he knows you. He knows what you had for breakfast. He knows what you said at work to another coworker. He knows what you think of your boss, good or bad. He knows how your marriage is doing. He knows. He knows what your struggles parenting or your struggles growing up as a kid. Kids, he knows how you feel about your teachers. Jesus knows everything. He knows the sins that you've committed. He knows all the wrong things you've done. He knows all the regrets, all the sorrow, all the shame. And he says, "I treasure you so much that I gave my life for you." What can you compare the kingdom of heaven to? I know that I'm going off script from John, I'm going to Matthew. But what can you compare the kingdom of heaven to? Just said in the parable. He said, "It is like a merchant of fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he took it and he sold everything he had and bought that field of pearl in it. He gave everything for that pearl." Some people are led to believe that that pearl means that that's the kingdom of heaven, and so we should give up everything for that pearl. But we can't, can we? There's nothing that we can do to earn or to buy that pearl. So we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Who are those in God's kingdom? Those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. And so he is the one. He is the merchant of fine pearls. He's the one who gave up everything. Who died on the cross for that pearl. Who gave up his own life for that pearl. And so when God sees you, when Jesus sees you, he sees you as a fine treasure worth dying for. He loves you and he treasures you.
He knows it all about you, and he still treasures you. He knows about your struggles, that you want to do good and be better. He knows all that, and he says, follow me. Lean on me. Let me do the heavy lifting. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me carry it for you. Jesus knows your hopes. He knows your dreams. And he wants to remind you that thy will be done, because he actually knows what is better for us than we can possibly imagine. And he knows that we're not always going to like his will over ours. We rarely do. And yet, he knows that in faith, we're going to get it. We're going to submit, and we're going to understand, God, your way is ultimately better. And you're doing this for a purpose, because God works all things to his glory, to the benefit of those he loves. You are known by God. You are known by Jesus. Not only does he know you inside and out, but he loves you. And he has revealed himself to you so that you can know him. And one day, you're going to be able to see him face to face in the glorious resurrection of the body, where God will dwell with man and man will dwell with God. And he's going to wipe away every single tear. He's going to comfort all the pains and bring healing to all the nations, to all the people, everywhere. Everybody who knows him will be there. One big happy family. And so, yes, the struggles in this world are real, but God knows all of them. He also knows what it's like to struggle in this world, because his son became man. He knows us inside and out. He knows what it's like to live in this world. He knows it all. And he knows that in the feast of his victory, when he returns, he knows that he has a place that he has prepared just for you to be part of that. Amen?
Amen.
And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.